Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hi, Ben. There's so much golf going on, I can hardly keep up. We've got the men's amateur underway, the U.S. amateur. PGA Tour's got the Wyndham Championship, and everybody's trying to get into the FedEx Cup, and many did not. The English Open is underway. Pinnacle Bank Championship on the Corn Ferry. LPGA has the Women's Scottish Open. Oh, the Champions Tour, they're playing the Shaw Charity Classic. But let's get back over to Scotland, because we're going to kick off the show. Welcome into the clubhouse. It's on the radio, of course, streaming live around the world. Aloha from Hawaii, and podcast, if you don't catch it live. RadioGolfClub.com is where you go to get the stream and the podcast. And from Scotland, Lewin Mair is going to be with us, senior writer, Global Golf Post, covering the Women's Scottish. Karen Palacios Jensen, creator of Cardio Golf and LPGA Master and Golf Digest Magazine, top 50 golf fitness pro. We're going to get some fitness inspiration going on. Matt Adams, Golf Channel, NBC, equipment pro, New York Times bestselling author, host Fairways of Life show, and you've probably seen him on a Golf Channel's Golf Central hosting this week. He's going to be joining us in the clubhouse. Talk about so many announcements were made when the Olympics were over. All of a sudden, poof, this is what we're going to do in the future. And Diana DeLucia, founder, editor, publisher, Golf Kitchen, and her awards are coming up in less than a month. I'm glad she has time to come on and talk to us. It's going to be partly cloudy today, scattered overnight and early morning showers we've had already, but the high today expected to be only 88 degrees. The low tonight, 72. The northeasterlies, 15 to 20. That's going to make it nice to sleep. We'll be back after this. Lewin joining us. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors: Dr. Carlson's Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua, MD Restoration Water Flood Broken Pipe Cleanup 24/7, Aloha Power Equipment. We keep power at your fingertips. Honolulu Sign, now at 1724 Hart Street, one block Mauka of Nimitz. Sue's Electric and Cranes Inc., keeping Hawaii powered and lifted for 60 years. High Rises Shopping and Commercial Centers, houses and RCM construction for your Spalding repairs. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's get straight over to Scotland. Lewin Mair, Global Golf Post senior writer, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you.
It's good. I mean, I've been watching television, and I'm looking at the Firth of Forth. Is that correct?
You're looking. They've got three in the lead. Is that what you're asking me? Sorry, well, the line isn't brilliant.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, the beautiful, the new.
Oh, the Firth of Forth. Yes. I thought you were saying that somebody was finishing fourth.
No, the Firth of Forth, Dunbarry Links, this new links course that looks absolutely amazing.
It is absolutely beautiful, and you look across to there, the view you've got is right over to North Berwick on the left, and if you look across to the right, you see the start of Edinburgh. It's a sensational place. I mean, that whole coastline will one day be full of wonderful golf courses. I mean, it is already, but this is the odd spot where you could slip in another, but this is a wonderful course, and I think every American who comes over to Scotland will want to include it.
It's 345 acres on the historic Balcars Estate. Is that correct?
It's probably as correct as I would guess it, yes. I mean, it's just a beautiful place. It used to be full of sheep and cows, and then this chap, Malcolm Campbell, who used to be a golf writer, he was walking along there one day, and he thought, in his mind's eye, he forgot the sheep and thought that golfers should be there.
Wow.
And very soon, that was the start of things.
Wow.
And Clive Clark, the designer, has done a wonderful job on it.
Oh, Clive Clark, Ryder Cupper, that's all I know about him. Is this his first course?
No, he's done several. He lives in California. He used to, live over here. He was a great amateur and then a very good pro and, as you say, a Ryder Cup player, very good player. And I think he started, you know, I remember writing about him years ago, and he used to be good at ballroom dancing as well as golf, so his rhythm was impeccable.
Wow. Well, then he'd fit right into the 424-year-old Balcar's house with the family Lord Anthony and Lady Balmille there, you know? I mean, I just am thrilled that there's a house there that's 424 years old that you can still see standing. There's so much. Some people I know in Europe say, gosh, I wish I had a modern house. But, you know, people are talking about a high rise that's 50 years old now and saying, we need to make it new again. And tear it down? Yes, it's 50 years old. Like, that's ancient. It's good to see. It's good to see this. And I want to go just knowing that there's so much history and it's so beautiful. And the reviews say the food is fantastic and the staff is great. So those two things, plus the gorgeous golf course, and I'm on my way. I'm going to switch right over to slow play on the LPGA, because you've been talking with the ladies on the tour. Stacey Lewis was certainly right out in not just talking to people. She was on television, the perfect person to actually bring it to the fore, because, you know, Stacey Lewis is not, she's not controversial. She's solid. She's a great player. And she says she's tired of this, you know, lackadaisical, mamby-pamby style. You know, let's pick up the pace. You were talking with her.
Yes, yes. Now, she's absolutely right, because if we're honest, it can get painful to watch when it's terribly slow. And, you know, Stacey was saying that it's no good giving these girls nowadays, because they're all earning pretty good money. If you say it's a £1,000 fine for whatever they've done, they'll just happily pay the £1,000 and carry on at the same pace. But, you know, if you deal with in shots and tell them that they're going to get a shot for keeping everybody waiting, or even two shots, well, then they start to pay attention, and that's what needs to happen. And the officials mustn't be scared of doing this.
Yeah, there's one thing that she also mentioned, something she wants to see more spot timing and, of course, penalty strokes, not just fines. What is spot timing?
Well, spot timing, I think it means that you can just do, these officials be on the course and they might spot somebody out of the corner of their eyes, go across and see that they're, you know, taking forever with their routines and everything, and they'll just go across and start timing them, and maybe even while they're not watching. But it's all pretty complex, and, you know, but I think that's what they're meaning by that. But it's certainly got to get a whole lot stricter.
Yeah.
Because it's gone on for ages, because, you know, they'll pick up a bit of speed and then they'll slow down again.
Well,
and I had a very interesting conversation between Popov, Sophie Popov, the girl who won our Open last year, the Women's Open. She was saying that she was talking to Nelly Korda the other day, and they both agreed that there were plenty of occasions when they would hit their drives and be ready to play their seconds, and the other girls in the group wouldn't even have started thinking about what clubs they would be taking. And so, you know, they just can't believe that they can be so slow.
Yeah, and we got spoiled, because watching Olympic golf, it was fast. They were moving. There was no slow play at the Olympics.
Well, I don't know, because I've done a piece for Global Golf Post for Monday, and the girls that came back, I was asking them, you know, if they would change the format at the Olympics. And they said, all of them, actually. I wasn't speaking to the Americans, you know, Nelly Korda wasn't there, of course, and I think Lydia was absolutely shattered when she got back. So this was the start of the week I was speaking. But they say golf is slow, and though it may not look to have been slow, if you were just looking at golf, if you look, compare it to some of the other sports that they've got now, like skateboarding, and you're going to have breakdancing next time, it makes you realize that golf can look pretty slow. And, the girls were very conscious of this. And Mel Reid said that she was speaking to some of the other athletes, and they would say to her, now, how long does golf take? You know, is it over in 10 minutes, or how long does it take? And that it was five hours a day or whatever for 4 days, and they just couldn't believe what they were hearing.
Yes, it's a good point. So what would they like the format to be?
I think there's a lot of people are thinking about match play. There's no doubt about it.
I would like to see teams. I mean, if it's Team USA,
teams. They
right?
want it in teams, yes.
Yes.
You've got to have match play, and it's got to be in teams, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That, well, we'll see what happens. It seemed like they were going faster, and they were shooting for score. You know, they weren't... I don't know. There didn't just seem to be a slow pace. Maybe it's just I'm so used to being so slow watching television and getting bored, waiting for them to decide what to do. Stacey Lewis also had a great point. She said, you know, when I'm hitting, it's just like Mel Reed said, they should be already have their club pulled and be ready for their shot. And she also mentioned that the women she started playing with, you know, the older, the senior players who are on the Legends Tour now, they played fast, and that's what women today on the LPGA need to do. They need to pick up the pace, and I just thought it was brilliant. I couldn't agree with her more.
Yeah, and I just remembered a funny thing that Joanne Carner said. I was asking her when Laura Davis first started going over to America, and I was asking her what she thought of Laura, and she said, Laura plays at a speed to suggest that she's got something better to do at the end of it.
Yes. Okay, ladies, let's enjoy this, because we got something going on at home, you know, or a party to go to. We've got dinner. So there were 31 players at the Olympics who actually came all the way from Japan to Scotland to play this tournament. That what a kudos to the 31 who made the journey. How was it?
Oh, absolutely marvelous. Absolutely marvelous, all those who've come. I mean, you know, it just amazes me what they do. I was speaking to an Argentinian girl. I'm afraid her name escapes me at the moment because my cat is sitting on top of my list of names. But I'm sorry about that. But this Argentinian girl told me that when she went to the Olympics, she was because they were so far away from the course, she was having to get up at between 4 and 5 in the morning, and then it was about an hour and a quarter trip to the course, 2 hours back, and then, you know, all day playing golf. And, you know, she looked very pale, poor girl, by the time she turned up on the practice ground at Dumbarney Links. But I think, you know, the sort of a nice bit of wind at Dumbarney had her, you know, injected a bit of colour into her. But she, my goodness me, I think several of them looked very, very tired.
I can't imagine why. Even youth can't get over that kind of jet lag and that kind of schedule. And it was hot, so hot. You know, that'll take it out of you every time.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, if you're playing, obviously they're playing very slow. Well, they're not playing that slowly in the Olympics, but, you know, if you're playing slowly and you're waiting all around in the heat, it really is hard work, isn't it?
Yes.
It is asking a lot of them.
Yes, yes. Lexi Thompson, her caddy just couldn't take it. And I think that had an impact on Lexi at the bottom line, you know, having to see her caddy in such distress. That must have such a distraction. Those kinds of distractions are hard to get over. Let's go to the Women's Scottish Open, and I'm looking at this leaderboard. Now, I was pretty comfortable. Aria Jutanagarn had a pretty strong lead. She was up there. Was it 4 strokes? Now there's a 3-way tie with 9 strokes under. Ryan O'Toole has come on really strong. Charlie Hull and Aria Jutanagarn, they're all tied for the lead at 9 under. 8 under, we've got Ashley Buhai and Athia Thitko, 8 under. And Anna Nordqvist is 6 under. And Lydia Ko, Celine Boutier, and Marina Alex Yelimino, 5 under. What a great leaderboard this tournament has.
There's something like 8 different nationalities in the top 10 or 11 or something.
Yes.
I mean, it's fantastic leaderboard. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I left someone out from Scotland. You need to call me on this. Kelsey MacDonald. She's also...
Kelsey MacDonald. Oh, she's wonderful. I mean, what's so fascinating is that the Scots, having this chance, in this Scottish Open, because now we've been having the LPGA girls coming across for a couple of years. I mean, she now feels at home among these top players, and my goodness, she's looking good. No, it's a really great effort.
Yes.
She was playing alongside Ryan O'Toole today. I can't remember who the other one was in the group, but it's lovely to see the local players coming on.
Yes.
But going back to what you said about the caddies, do you know, I remember a time when the caddies really were not fit. And if you'd asked them to go round in, in this incredible heat, they couldn't have done it at all. But now these caddies are training along with the players. You see them in the fitness truck, and they have to be that fit. So it's an extraordinary about change for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is. They're all fit and getting going, and there's no big tummy on them anymore. That used to be the sort of, you could tell who the caddy was off the course because he had the nice padding, good padding.
This is an extraordinary memory, but I remember at Sunningdale one year that one or two of them were sleeping under a hedge. Now they're, they've got plenty of money and they're doing really well, but they have to work for it, and they really do. I mean, they're such a professional bunch nowadays. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And I was looking earlier, I counted in the top 20 on the leaderboard, four players from the Philippines. What a, a charge. And I was trying to remember the first, was it twins who came from the Philippines before Aria and Moria came over here? They didn't do well. They kind of, it was a little too soon for them. They were very young. I think they started at 13. And then the, Jutanagarns came. And they showed us that this is strong. They are strong. And there are so many young women. Now, Afaya Titikul, she is powerful.
Oh, amazing. Yes, these Thais are all, they're good and strong. They're very, very good players. And Araya, not so long ago, you had Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott on your show. Now, they did an awful lot. They're the very good on, the mental training and mental side of golf. And they had Aria under their wing. And she was going too fast at one time. And if she got nervous, she'd quicken up and get faster and faster. So they had to think of a way to slow her down. And what made me think of them today is that you could see Aria whistling as she went after just making one bogey, which was jolly good because a lot of us wouldn't be whistling. But she's learned to do that. And then I remember when she won the British Open at Woburn a few years ago, sat down between shots, she would pinch the officials' chairs, the ones who were sitting, at various points on the course. And eventually they were all getting up to give her their seat, like as if she were an old lady.
Here, honey. You need it more than I do.
Exactly. But
yeah.
She's definitely learnt. You see her looking very assured, and she's managing to cope. Whatever you throw her, she can deal with. And she finished bogey today and came off smiling.
Yeah,
now, I must tell you that the smiles on that women's tour far outdo the smiles among the men, because I tuned into the Kazoo Open, which is a very strange name, which is happening, the men's event, and they look bleak, and no reason to look bleak, because they were playing on a lovely course, but there aren't a lot of smiles from the men, and I'm afraid the women outdo them on that score.
Oh, what do you think the problem is with the guys? They need to be, more macho, can't show that, they're having a good time, don't want to be too friendly because they're competing against each other?
No, I just think maybe it has something to do with the fact that there are not many spectators yet.
Oh,
but they just need reminding. People need to say to them, you know, they need to be told, you should be smiling more. You should, you know, to look as though you're jolly pleased to see people there and everything else. And I think they just forget. But some of them look positively doom-laden.
Truly. And it's interesting, too, because when you say about no spectators, that they really love to show off. You can't, of course, you know, it's not like you want to have a good time when you're with your buddies. You can't, and then you have all these distractions, but they're not with their buddies. They're playing and they're competing, but there's no one to cheer them on. And that makes a big difference in demeanor and the feeling you have about how you're doing. It's great talking with you, Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post senior writer. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha. We're going to come back and get a little exercise. Karen Palacios Jensen, CardioGolf.com, LPGA Master, teaching professional, lead instructor for Golf Channel after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Karen Palacios Jensen, CardioGolf.com, Cardio Golf and Cardio Golf TV creator. She's LPGA Master Teaching Professional, Lead Instructor for Golf Channel, and Golf Digest Top 50 Best Golf Fitness Trainer. The only LPGA professional on the list. All right, you can find her at cardiogolf.com. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks for having me, and I love the way you pronounce my name. I always enjoy that part of the show.
You are so wonderful. You've partnered now with GolfGym.com. We put power in your swing, is their catchphrase.
Yes, so GolfGym.com actually helped me develop my shorty club and cardio golf slope, and they provide a variety of bands and balls and golf-specific equipment that you can use at home. So I'm going to power up my cardio golf program by incorporating all their at-home fitness equipment into my workouts.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so I was reading, you know, on their website, I didn't realize they helped you create it because I looked and went, wow, look at that. They are using the Cardio Golf Slope Fitness Platform and the Golf Gym Shorty Practice Club in this routine. So the gentleman who's writing this, or the lady, could be a woman, for many years I've heard golf commentators and golf teachers use the phrase, the golf swing starts from the ground up. And, you know, we talk about that all the time. And he didn't know how in the world he could see it, but he couldn't figure out how to make that happen. So I thought, what a great time for us to, you know, work on that. You can explain and we can all learn.
Exactly. Well, think about it. So first of all, the golf is played on the ground. The ball is standing still and your feet are on the ground. And there's a gravitational pull towards the earth. So everything is going downward towards the ground. So the idea of the golf swing is to load your swing up, your weight shift, and then unload, and then use the ground to push off. And as you push off with your lower body, your arms fling, and that's what propels the ball to give you power. So a lot of people, I'm not saying you, but a lot of people, as they swing, pull in to try to help the ball up in the air, and they don't use their lower body, and they lose a lot of power that way, and cause a lot of shots. So if you could incorporate using a little bit more lower body pushing off from the ground, you're going to get a lot more power.
And they said, you know, in the video that they have, they're using the Cardio Golf Slope Fitness Platform and your Golf Gym Shorty Practice Club. So
right. So the slope. Sorry to interrupt you, Danielle. So the slope was developed. Because think about it, Danielle, when you're playing golf, you're never on a completely flat surface. So the slope is sloped like a fairway. So you can practice those uphill and downhill lies. The other thing that the slope helps you feel is the weight shift. So you put your foot on an uphill lie, that lead foot. So if you're a right-handed golfer, that would be your left foot. You put that higher. And then as you swing back, it helps you feel the weight shift into the back side. Then you flip it around and you put your back foot on the upslope, and then you're creating like a downslope, and you shift your weight, and the slope actually pushes you off so you can feel the ground and help you feel a better weight shift.
Yeah.
So where people go wrong is when they're on a flat surface, again, they're not shifting their weight as much. So the slope actually helps you feel that, and you get immediate feedback, and you can rehearse it. And really, think about it. The driving ranges are completely flat. There's nowhere ever to practice those sloping lines that you have on the golf course.
Yeah, when you get there, it's like, now what do I do? What's the best way to handle this one? It's not like I've got a teacher with me all the time, you know. Stop and pull up a video of from cardiogolf.com, and you know, that would like slow play. We're talking about speeding up play, not slowing it down. So you want to have this in your pocket, so to speak, in the back of your mind and in your body. How long does it take to groove that sort of understanding and that sort of ability?
Well, you know, I mean, the more you practice, the better it is. But I've always told people that it's better to practice 5 minutes every day and build every day that feeling into your body than to wait till you have like an hour or two to practice at the end of the week. First of all, that never happens. And those long practice sessions usually end up in frustration and, you know, injury. So it's literally, if you had a little shorty practice club in your slope at home, you could jump on there while you're watching golf on TV or have it as your morning routine, do a few practice swings, and your body will feel it. So then when you do actually go out and play or practice, it'll feel comfortable and natural, and you're not starting over each time you get onto the golf course.
Yeah, just having that routine inside your body's muscle memory. And I use that term loosely. People say muscles don't have memory. But you have a feeling. Your brain communicates with your muscles, and that's the memory that you're creating. So, and by the way, the Shorty Club, you're hearing about this, it's only 23 inches in length. so you're not going to hurt anything. It can be used indoors without breaking anything or hitting the ceiling, which is always a good thing.
Right. It's specifically designed for indoors, and so you can take full swings and not hit the ceilings or the walls.
That's great. That's great. When did you start? When did you get into the game? What got you into the game?
Well, actually, my father, and he's actually here with me right now. I'm visiting my parents in New Orleans where they live, and I'm with my dad right now, and he actually got me into the game. He played, and then we lived on a golf course, and so all the kids in the neighborhood played golf, so I grew up playing golf. I've been playing since I was about 11 or 12 years old, and my dad really got me into the game, so that's how long
wow.
I've been playing for a while.
Wow. Does he ever give you advice?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He knows my swing more than anyone, so we were out practicing yesterday, and he was taking a look, making sure I get parallel at the top.
You have a coach, and it's Dad.
I do.
That's cool.
I would say, like most, kids that play, usually it's a parent that gets them into the game, so, it's great to have that, be able to play with my dad my entire life, and we're still playing golf.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. There's something that most of us have no clue. I shouldn't say most. Let's just say Danielle often doesn't have connection with her club face. You know, and if you don't know where your club is facing, your club face is facing, that's a problem. I just don't feel connected. I try to set up correctly and take my swing, and if I do everything right, I'm going to do fine. But sometimes things just don't work out, and the club doesn't come in contact with the ball the way I had planned at all.
Yeah, so a couple of things. So first of all, your grip is very important. So my shorty club is designed short, not only so you can swing inside, but the club head is closer to your hand, Danielle. So when you do practice, you can kind of stop at impact and check your club face to make sure at least you're rehearsing the correct way. So it's closer to your hand. The other thing to understand about club face is a lot of the times if you're doing something weird in your swing, your body knows that. So you try to correct it during the swing, and then that's when you miss hit shots. So you really have to make sure that grip and setup are correct to give yourself a chance to hit the ball with a square club face. Because if your club face is coming in closed, the body feels it, and then it tries to do something at the last minute to square it up or to hit it. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. So making sure that your setup is correct, your ball position is correct, just knowing what the center of the club face is going to help you have a better chance of squaring it up at impact.
Okay. For all the people who've joined the game over this pandemic, what is a squared up face? What does that mean?
Yeah, and that's a term that they just developed a long time ago. Square means that the club face is facing your target at perpendicular or parallel to where you want the ball to go. So if you put your left hand out straight, so the back of your hand is like the club face, at impact, you want that back of the hand to be facing the target. If the back of your hand is facing the sky at impact, then you're going to hit the ball, if you're right-handed, to the right. If the back of the hand faces down or to the left, if you're right-handed golfer, you're going to hit the ball to the left. So you want to get to the point where you can come back and that back of that hand is facing where you want the ball to go. Now, sometimes, Danielle, you want to hit a shot to the right or to the left, and then you would open the face or close the face. Those are terms in golf to hit it to the right or to the left if you're a right-handed golfer.
Perfect. You've opened so many eyes. Finally, somebody, most people are too, nervous. They don't want to ask questions like that because you want to seem like you're in the know. Now, there's something that goes on inside many people's mind and body that it's a freezing motion or something freezes inside. When you're trying to do something in front of people, and because what you're talking about doing with golf is actually being in connection with your body, to be really in tune with your body. And most of us are not in tune with our bodies, and certainly not to the degree where, you know, I know my wrist is doing exactly what it needs to do, unless I'm throwing a ball because I've been doing it for so long. There goes the practice. Okay, so do you have any, like, calming ideas for people who find themselves just losing their ability to concentrate at all when they're on the golf course?
Yes, that's a really good point. So one of the things that happens with people is they try to be too perfect. So when you're too perfect, you tense up. You need to have a little bit of relaxation. So first of all, just lower your expectations. Nobody hits a perfectly straight shot every single time. So that's number one. Number two, you have to have a little bit of motion before you swing. If you're setting up and your body is stiff because you're thinking, I got to keep my club face square, I got to turn my hips, whatever, then your body tenses up. And then to swing back, you need some momentum, and you usually end up raising up. If you have a little bit of motion, like you kind of shuffle your feet, waggle the club, look at the target, imagine a good shot. When you settle down, then the momentum's going to swing you back and be able to be more relaxed. So I would have people rehearse with a little bit of movement before each shot, because if you're setting up super tight and tense, trying to hit a perfect shot every single time, then, you know, it's not going to happen. So a really good drill to practice would be to put like 4 or 5 balls in a row. Now, you don't have to rifle through them like one after the other. Just set up to the ball, kind of waggle, swing, and then go to the next one, not thinking, and swing. And then I promise you that'll get you some motion, and you're not thinking so much about having a perfect shot. And you'll probably hit it better that way anyway.
I'm talking with Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. That's where you go to find everything about Karen and cardio golf. And she has lots of videos so you can watch and you can get a feel for things. She has a whole bunch of ways. Of course, you can get the slope or the shorty club, and you can work that way. It's available on her website. All of those things, Karen Palacios Jensen. So, the Olympics. And, of course, oh, did I mention that Jensen stands for the Dan Jensen and the Olympic speed racer, speed skater, who won gold medal in the Olympics? Yes. I used to watch speed skating. Amazing. Those long blades. I'd kill myself.
Well, they go like 40 miles an hour. It's the fastest human-powered sport in the world.
Unbelievable. So does he get as excited about the Olympics watching?
Yes, we were glued to the TV watching. And he loved golf in the Olympics. He was very excited to watch golf and see how excited people were to compete just for their country and just for a medal and just for the chance to win a gold medal. He loved that.
Yes, that's exactly. I get this grin across my face that just won't come back down, and that's exactly how I feel. It's like I miss the Olympics. I love watching people put everything into it. You know, just their whole being is involved, and they're giving it their all, and it is for their country, and it is not for them necessarily, but it's a culmination of so many years and years of work, and it's thrilling. The whole thing is thrilling. And we had a lot of talk about mental fatigue or stress of expectations on these young performers who are sometimes not so young, but finding themselves carrying the world on their shoulders, the expectations of their country, of the world, if they're at a specific level, you know, if they're superstars in their sport. And Matt Wolf comes to mind, and only because when you talked about a little motion, you know, how he lifts his leg, that's kind of like, that's perfect, right? But he also found himself, we were so excited to see this young man and his interesting move, and he just became the focal attention of so many people, and he goes, God, this is, I need a break.
Right. A lot of times I think people put that on themselves, and I think it's great that we're having this discussion of mental health, and a lot of people are having these issues, and we're sympathetic to them. And I think now people can realize that they can do their sport and just try as hard as they can, and that's all people can expect from them. So we don't have to be perfect. We just need to try as hard as we can and do the best we can, and people will be happy with you. And when you do that, then you can perform better.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to be perfect and, you know, make other people happy, but do it for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, truly. You know, and I think coaching is such an art form, and they don't get enough credit. But, you know, it's up to them, too, to step in and sort of try to let their, you know, their students, their I'm not sure what the relationship, I want to have a different word than students, they're players, you know, they need, it's a trust factor, and you earn that trust from that coach. Have you, I mean, you're with your dad, he's coaching you, there's an automatic bond between, how do you, Karen, when you're coaching somebody, how do you develop that?
Yeah, well, I think you brought up a good point. I think it's important, first of all, to find out as much as you can about that person so that you can understand where they're coming from. And then the other thing is to set goals for yourself. And sometimes the goal is not to, you know, win the tournament. Sometimes the goal is just to have a good time. And I think people need to, like, relax a little bit about hitting perfect shots and about trying to score and maybe enjoying the game more. Maybe you go out next time you go play and your goal is just to hit as many good shots as you can, or like to look at the trees more, or just, you know, enjoy the game, because we're all not going to be gold medalists. We're all not going to win the U.S. Open. So what's the purpose of you playing the game? It's to be with your friends and to have a good time. So that should be part of your goal, not just to hit the ball and, you know, score.
Great.
But, of course, making birdies and shooting good scores is also part of it. So you have more fun. That's why you practice a little bit and, you know, make goals and have a practice program.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you've got to have, it's got to be fun. It's got to be thrilling. And you've got to keep that, I don't know, you just have to keep that spark inside of you. And part of it, too, is, you know, look what I'm doing. You know, just revel in the fact that you have this ability and that you're able to be as terrific as you are. It's beautiful when you can do that, and then everything comes natural. Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. Go to cardiogolf.com and learn all about Karen. She's got so many things for you and such an insightful person. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And you can get a free subscription if you do go to cardiogolf.com so that you can check it out.
A free subscription, cardiogolf.com, so you can check it out. There you go. Okay? Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always enjoy talking to you.
Hey, say hi to Dad for me. All right, we're going to come back with Matt Adams. Matt Adams is host of Fairways of Life. That's a free show. It's an app, of course, Fairways of Life app on both iOS and Android systems. And I've been watching Matt. He's been hosting Golf Central on Golf Channel. And you never know. He's got sometimes on Morning Drive. Or it's not Morning Drive anymore. Golf Today. Sorry about that. Some things are ingrained. He'll be back with us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Hitting the Greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Flood, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company expert. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It's pizza play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Matt Adams, host Fairways of Life, and you can find Fairways of Life, the app. It's on both iOS and Android systems. Golf Channel host and reporter, Morning Drive, that is Golf Today now, and Golf Central. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. It's Saturday. So I only do my golf show on Saturdays. It's wonderful. I love talking with you, having you on the show. How are you?
Likewise. I'm doing well. I'm actually inside of NBC Sports' headquarters here. We had to do a couple of hits this morning, but I'm on with Billy Kratzer later on today. I think we're scheduled at 8 p.m. tonight when the golf gets cleared out. So I'm just hanging out here and watching English Premier League and I'm just taking in all the sights and sounds. It's pretty amazing.
There's so much golf going on.
I know.
You know, and we're waiting for the U.S. Amateur. You know, it's incredible. It starts in an hour and 15 minutes. I'm sure you've been watching.
Yeah, what happens here is that, you know, obviously, no matter where you go, every corner you turn, there's monitors with all the different sports coming in. That's all part of the NBC family. So we've got, right now, we're watching the Wyndham Championship. This morning we had the Women's Scottish on, then the U.S. Amateur. At 6 p.m. we're going to have the Corn Ferry Tour. And this week is important for a number of different reasons. Relative to the U.S. Amateur, I think that's one more example of a national celebration of golf. I mean, this is a 121st U.S. Amateur. It's at, you know, a very storied, one of the great stages for the game at the Oakmont Country Club. So for all those reasons, it's exciting. The prestige and the importance of the highest trophy that you can get as a male amateur golfer is stunning. And then when you balance that against the fact that the Wyndham Championship, always there's going to be a focus on what's going on at the top of the leaderboard because it's fun to do. It's the reason why we want to know what the score is of a sporting event. But for this week, what's happening in the mid-tier and sometimes low-tier and sometimes cut line has very significant consequences. Ricky Fowler, even though he has status for the next year on tour, he will not be playing in the playoffs, and it's the first time that he has missed the playoffs since 2009. Whereas we saw others like Justin Rose and Adam Scott, who were either on or outside the line, fight their way inside of it out of a matter of professional pride to be a part of the playoffs and continuing the march. And they weren't the only ones. Same thing in the Corn Ferry Tour. If this is it, this is the week where it locks down and 25 will get their card. And after that, they all go into their finals. And the number of 75 matters because it determines whether you do or do not keep status on the Korn Ferry Tour is you're trying to claw your way and climb your way into the higher ranks of the game. And then you've got 126 to 200 on the PGA Tour that are going to go down and play in the finals. So we have so much that's coming together. And then the stage that it sets for the Women's Open, because the Scottish Open on a brand new, gorgeous links course that I haven't seen in person yet,
yeah,
that I've loved watching on television. So there's just so much going on. It's to me, it's a buffet of golf, and it's all delicious.
Yes, it is. I love seeing that Scottish course, and I love the history of that Scottish course. Any course that has a building on it that's 425 years old, I'm enamored, and the Lord and Lady are still there. Yeah.
Imagine 400-something years old is new construction.
Exactly. See, they're in 1202 in a lovely little city in Europe. There is a pharmacy that's still being sold from. So, you know, yes, you're absolutely right. That's a very young building. There's nothing wrong with that place. Okay, now, this is USJ Week. That's, you know, we have the 121st U.S. Amateur at Oakmont. And Austin Greaser and Travis Vick, one's 20, one's 21, both university standouts. Austin, Western Am finalist in July. Travis, the first team All-American as a sophomore. James Piatt, 22, Michigan State. Two-time first team All-Big Ten player. These guys are good. Okay, Nick Gabrielczyk, University of North Florida, won the Phil Mickelson Outstanding Freshman Award. Now, they're all ready to go, and somehow they're all on time, right? Because the weather has not been friendly
yet. Well, no, it hasn't been, but obviously they're on time now because the numbers have been so whittled down to the final few. But the weather has been tough. The rains came through and threw everything off, and then the heat came through following it, and that, too, impacted the players. Bottom line is the average age for a winner, for I believe it's been a decade plus, has been 23 years old at the U.S. Amateur, which speaks to the fact that this is a young man's game. It's a grind emotionally, mentally, but it's also a grind physically to do what these guys are doing, and it's to their credit that they continue with the march, and rightfully so, because as we've been discussing, it's an incredibly prestigious honor to win this.
Okay, any ideas on who you think is going to come out on top and be in the final?
No, and the reason why is, as you saw, that, you know, the number one seed was bumped out, and mm-hmm. and if, you know, when you're talking 1-63, you know, in that particular matchup, it's so razor thin that it's impossible to say, well, this person seems to have an edge here, that person seems to have an edge there. By and large, what you see with these players, it, when you look across the field, is they're all big, strong athletes. They generate a tremendous amount of speed in their golf swing, so they hit it a very long way. But they're so precise, it's almost as if at their tender ages, they are 10 or 15 years beyond that in terms of the control of their golf game, control of their golf swing, and control of their golf management. You don't see a lot of what I would call immature mistakes taking place. It happens occasionally, but not often. And that's because of the whole way that the junior structure of golf is, whether it's AJGA, whether it's the collegiate system, if you please, no matter what it is, they are all such veteran competitors now that they go through their process. And if just look at the way that they're playing Oakmont, look at the lines that they're taking at Oakmont. It's a thinking man's game that's backed by a tremendous amount of athletic ability and power.
Yeah, exactly. A thinking man's game, athletic power. Nicely put. Now let's move on to something, you know, it's like the Olympics ended and everybody decided we're going to dump a whole bunch of information that we've been holding. USJ from now until 2050, are we going to be alive in 2050? Is the planet going to be on fire in 2050? I saw on Twitter somebody say, are we going to be living on Mars in 2050? So 2025 U.S. Open at Oakmont, 2028 U.S. Women's Open at Oakmont, 2033 Walker Cup match, you get it, Oakmont, all the way down 2034 U.S. Open, 2038 U.S. Women's Open, 2042 U.S. Open, 2046 U.S. Women's Amateur, U.S. Open, 2049. Okay, Marion, now we're at Marion, 2022 Curtis Cup, 2026 U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Open at 2034 U.S. Women's Open, 2046 U.S. Women's Open, and 2050 the U.S. Open. Is this strange that they're planning so far in advance?
It's definitely very, very different. I think my guess is that the USGA, I haven't heard them use it yet, so my guess is that the USGA is trying to stay away from the term AROTA, so that it doesn't look like they're just doing the exact same thing that the RNA has done with its grouping of courses that they use for the Open. But in all truth, it is developing into an American ROTA. Now, whether they needed to go out nearly 30 years, I think that was somewhat extreme, but it's their bat and ball, and that's what they wanted to do. From a practicality standpoint, I understand the virtues of casting things in advance, because when you're holding an event, particularly at prestigious private clubs, committees can be formed, logistics can start to be worked on. Mm-hmm. You're going to find, because of the way that these things are laid out, you're going to find that the same core group of people who are administering, soliciting, and participating in, say, volunteer efforts will start to become stabilized, and you'll have people that will do it literally for decades because they love it that much, and now they know what's coming next, what they have to work on, et cetera. What I did like about it, though, in terms of Marion in particular, is that to have 2030 and 2050 booked, when you know that 2030 will be the 100-year anniversary of Bobby Jones' Grand Slam that Marion very much played a part of, and that in 2050 it will be the same for Ben Hogan when he won the U.S. Open at Marion and that famed high piskin shot of him on 18 with the one iron to earn his way into a playoff that he ultimately won. I think that's really good, smart planning to say, now this is where it's going to be. And even though it's way, way out there and it seems absurd time-wise, but it's really good planning in terms of saying, yeah, we want to make sure that we hit these certain sites. Other than that, I don't know what the answer is for going out that far. I know they're very excited about it, and I know that they feel that there's going to be further announcements. I think it would be foolish not to assume that Pebble Beach is going to be in some type of rotation there. I don't know whether they'll do a whole like California announcement, and maybe it'll be the entirety of the state or the West Coast in terms of when they make that next anchor. Because you got to figure Torrey will be one, and Pebble definitely will be one. I'm not sure if they could convince Cypress to be a part of it or not. I have no idea. But it also helps, too, because now for your membership at these very private, very powerful clubs, they know what's coming. So they can see and know that it's not being sprung on them, that they're not going to have their golf course for a period of time at these specific dates and times.
I think that's the most practical reason why they would do it. You know, that just makes sense. You want to let the people who are hosting it know they're going to be hosts. Yeah, so another thing that came up this week, the official world golf ranking is going to be changing. And it's interesting, you know, when you want to dig into it and the wagering of it all. And but I think the most important part about it was a lot of people were saying 2 years is too long for those points to continue to accrue, be applied. Like Ricky Fowler now, you know, some of his points are going, so now he's going to be dropping lower and lower on the ranking list. Is that going to stay the same?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple observations where, first of all, when it really comes to world rankings, it matters to the players because it gets them into different events. But after that, to the rank and file fan, other than whoever is world number one, they generally don't care.
Yeah.
But what they needed to correct with the rankings was that it was because it was all weighted the same, and that's essentially what has changed here. What they're saying now is, oh, no, we're going to take the entirety of the field, and the field will determine where it goes in terms of its respective ranking based upon how many quality players are in said field.
Okay.
Previously, players could go to Europe, and they could go tearing through playing in Europe, whether they were from outside of Europe, like, you know, Brooks Koepka did or what have you, and work their way into exemption status because of the fact that they went that route. And in essence, they were playing against weaker fields, just truth be told. So what happens with this is, if you look at it from the standpoint of saying who's the winners and who's the losers here, this is going to impact Europe, because they are going to lose the impact of an equivalent basis that they had previously, because now the fields are going to individually be calculated, and the fields obviously on the PGA Tour are dramatically better, and that's going to have an impact in terms of how the points are given and who ends up popping up on the world rankings. In terms of how it impacts the top of the world rankings, it's going to have virtually no impact whatsoever with the people that are in particular inside the top 10, but even you can go deeper than that, where it's really not going to have a big impact. It will definitely have an impact as you start to get to 50 to 100, and those are also the same numbers that matter in terms of these exemptions. It's a special event. So it's a good move. I know that they're waiting until August of 22, they said, just to make sure they got all the bugs worked out in it. That doesn't even seem necessary, frankly, because it's what they presented to the world. It makes a lot of sense, and it seems like it's something they could even do sooner if they wanted to.
Yeah. Someone asked them when they were announcing it, you know, if you notice something's off, can you make changes to this? And they said, you know, we don't think anything. We've been following, we've been tracking, we've been studying this for years. So I figure they had everything in place and they were watching how it would play itself out, even if it wasn't officially the world ranking at that time.
Yeah, Peter Dawson, who's on the committee, obviously one of the chairs, and he did say that they'll keep an eye on it. They'll tweak it if they have to. They just don't think they have to.
PGA Tour, European Tour, are they working together?
Yes. Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, is now on the board of directors for the European Tour, and this makes sense. And a lot of the reasons why things like this, in my opinion, happen are for the things that you don't necessarily readily see. Oftentimes it has to do with rights and has to do with distribution product and the value of the same and how you negotiate the same. The PGA Tour, as you probably already know, is assisting the LPGA Tour in terms of taking their product to the marketplace and going, okay, where are we going to dole out our coverage and who's going to pay what for it and who's going to be able to see it when and where and how. And that all comes down to money. And the leagues are trying to maximize the value. The new media contract for the PGA Tour kicks off at the end of this year in 2022. ESPN starts to come in with digital content that they're going to have in terms of the PGA Tour. NBC and Golf Channel continue to keep a big chunk of it. CBS obviously will too. So the landscape will change in terms of media, mostly in terms of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, how it's produced and where it's produced and then how it's distributed around the world. The European Tour is looking to shore up their finances. They're doing fine, but they're looking to shore up and get more for their product on a global basis. The fact that the Scottish Open and two events, lesser events admittedly, but two events on the PGA Tour are co-sanctioned events is really good. Again, going down the line, if you boil it down to winners and losers, really good for Europe that the Scottish Open is now a co-sanctioned event.
True.
And they've been hoping to put together a Lynx golf run-up leading to the Open, meaning the Irish Open and then the Scottish and then the Open itself. And if I'm hopeful, I've got my fingers crossed that we're waiting to hear that the Irish Open will be announced as a co-sanctioned event as well. Now, I'm not giving you any type of inside information, like I know that that's coming,
right?
But there's been a lot of rumors of it, and so any of us Irish people are hopeful that that happens, because that, as a result, could bring in more of PGA Tour players, because it would be a co-sanctioned event. They could get acclimated, and they could have a good run leading into the Open. I think it would be tremendous for the game and a lot of fun for fans, because we'd have such a huge exposure to Lynx golf.
Yes, we love watching European. Now, the reason I asked, I know the PGA Tour and the European Tour are working together, but, you know, if the World Golf Rankings, the official World Golf Rankings, is going to hurt the European Tour, it just seems like we want to raise up everybody in the game, not have some global superpower. It's like politics. It's a global superpower. We should be raising each other up. I like it that the LPGA and the LET are working together. We need to raise everybody up so that across the board, there's feeder tours, and I understand that the best rise to the top, and that's just Mother Nature and thinking smarts. What were you saying about that? Power, physicality, and being smart, how you play the game. But it just seems like if this is, you know, the official World Golf Ranking isn't going to be good for the European Tour, I just don't understand that.
Well,
and you don't need to comment.
What they closed, circling back to the World Rankings, was, in essence, a loophole. And even though it's not going to benefit the European Tour, because the European Tour benefited from the loophole, it was still a loophole and it shouldn't have been there. It was inequitable and wasn't fair. In terms of the European Tour itself, there is not a player that ascends on that tour that doesn't want to go to the PGA Tour. In the food chain that is the world of golf, the absolute number one predator is the PGA Tour. Yeah. They are number one. And it's not a question of global equity or balance. It is unequivocal. It is absolutely the PGA Tour. So the European Tour should not be hurt from the standpoint of what it basically is a developmental tour for players that eventually want to evolve onto the PGA Tour. It's still going to be that. It's going to be exactly what it always has been. It just will not be possible now for someone to go to the European Tour with the specific intent of exploiting a system that they can get inside of whatever number you want to define it as, whether it's top 100 or top 50 or top 75 or top whatever. You could do that previously, but by taking that route, it's going to be much more difficult to do it that way now.
Got it. On Ricky Fowler, I'm sure he wanted to be in a better position and rise to the top, just like Adam Scott has done, is now tied for second, I believe, or is he in second place? No, he's not quite that far up. He's tied for fifth. But he's making changes. He's working towards something. Or do you see some other problem that he has? What's your take?
It's interesting. We were talking about this last night on Golf Central, because if you look at 2017, right? I didn't even go back to 2014 when he finished in the top five in all four majors, et cetera, et cetera. But then he wins the Players' Championship after that. I'm going 2017. 2017, he was number one strokes gained putting, number one. This year, same category, same measure, he was 131st, not even average on the tour. And it's almost to a point of cliche that every time Ricky's making a putt on television, that the announcers will say he's, you know, one of the best putters in the game. Well, statistically, in the year that was, he wasn't. And you can look at that and go, is that a diminishment of that particular skill? And obviously an argument can easily be made that it is, but more likely what it is because he's concentrating on other areas, that part of his game has been put under more stress, because the more trouble you're having getting the ball to the target, the more trouble you're going to have getting it into the hole. And he said after yesterday's round that in the past he's been able to rely on his putting to get him out of a lot of jams.
Yeah.
And I just think he's in a jam right now that's beyond something that the putter can just free him of, because it works backwards through a player's golf bag. The more concerning things to me was that Ricky spoke openly yesterday about the fact that his confidence has taken a hit. And it's not often that players talk openly about what their confidence level is. Rory McIlroy being an exception, he's often said that confidence can waver from one hole to the next, sometimes from shot to shot. But I've never heard Ricky really address confidence before and saying that he needs to work on building up his confidence again. So there's clearly an element of searching that's going on here. I'm not taking away from the fact that he has been working on changing his swing for a long time. But I think there's some element of the 5-inch fairway between the ears, and maybe playing through it would help him, but playing through it has not helped him yet. So this forced break that he's going to get during the FedEx Cup playoffs, I don't know, maybe it's a reflective period. You know, he's got life changes coming too. They've got a baby on the way. There's just a lot going on for him right now. He's a quality player. He has been for over a decade. So it's reasonable to believe that this is just going to be a blip that he'll work his way through. And certainly anyone that's a fan of Ricky Fowler can hope that. But it doesn't change the reality of where he's at right now. And where he's at right now is not a great place.
No, let's hope he does a Jordan Spieth. Matt Adams, host, Fairways of Life. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Good luck with everything. You're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you. You are. It's great watching you on Golf Central. Aloha.
Thank you.
Diana DeLucia, she's doing an amazing job, too. And she is about to have the third annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards at Glen Arbor. And this time, boy, those awards take on a whole new meaning. We'll be with her right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few hundred dollars. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
The Golf Club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee. Now back to The Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
I have to tell him not to do that anymore. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, and coffee table books. Welcome into the clubhouse. Diana? We're having some technical difficulties in connecting. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher, are you with us?
I definitely am, Danielle.
Oh, great. Now we can hear you. We couldn't hear you. The third annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards at Glen Arbor Golf Club, Bedford Hills, New York. Magnificent club hosting this wonderful, the Culinary Excellence Award. How do, you know, I know that the certifications are still underway, and it's an incredible process these clubs go to. You become certified. Certificates of culinary excellence have gone out to Glen Arbor, Siboney, Liberty National, Addison Reserve, Richland Country Club, Naples National, Royal Poinciana, Greenwich Country Club, because of the excellence within, but also because of, you know, showing it. And showing Diana, Who came up with the requirements that you have to become one of the people who receives the certification?
During the pandemic last year, in 2020 at least, we had several people in the industry had this vision to create such a certification in the industry on the culinary side. So I reached out to multiple GMs and executive chefs from clubs in the United States, and we came up with a program, and it was all written up by professionals, and now we've got our first eight, nine clubs, and getting some interest from people calling in to see how they can be involved, which is really exciting because it's not easy to get a program like this off the ground.
What is the certification for?
It's for an overall club experience on the culinary, wine, cocktail, front and back of the house experience. I mean, there's a lot of categories. I think I sent you the introduction packet.
Yes.
Yeah, so like I clearly didn't write it up myself because, you know, I'm a magazine and business producer, but it's been professionally written up, and we're really excited to get that moving. You know, the only thing you worry about all the time is the climate that we're in. We don't know. We just have to keep going and keep creating the new programs and hope for the best with the current COVID crisis.
Yes, absolutely. That's all we can do is keep on going forward. You have this third annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Award at Glen Arbor, and the chefs that are cooking, it's amazing. You know, Michael, executive chef at Glen Arbor, Jason Voisel, executive chef, Naples National, Juan Pablo, the executive chef, Royal Ponciana, Jonathan Hancock, executive chef, Richland Country Club, Dominic Kala, executive chef, Round Hill Club, Marissa Hernandez, executive pastry chef, Glen Arbor, sommelier Fernando Silva, wine director and sommelier at Glen Arbor, and the special guest mixologist who was on the show recently, Sean Lewis, CCM, CEC, PC, III, assistant general manager, executive chef at Liberty National. I don't know how he wears that many hats. And of course, pretty soon the FedEx Cup kicks off its run at Liberty National. So this is great. But the awards that are going out include some of the very new people in the industry, and you have specifically the Golf Kitchen Rising Star Award. How do you pronounce Hannah's name?
Oh, come on, Danielle.
Flora
Mihajlovic.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to go with. You know, Mihajlovic. Yeah, no problem. From Misner Country.
I got that out.
Oh, come on, Diana. You're giving me a hard time.
My Australian accent.
Yes, you know, but you did a great job with your, it sounds even better with your Australian accent. So, we were talking about young Hannah. How old is she?
29 years old, and she is an absolute protege chef.
It's amazing.
I have met one other executive chef that was 28, 29, and that was Anthony Massis at Casa de Campo in Dominican Republic. And she is extremely passionate about her cooking and her career, and it only shows young people that the club industry is a great industry to work in. We really need to promote youth coming into the industry because, as you know, there's going to be a big changeover soon of staff and the line of succession. And if you don't have young people involved in the industry, you're not going to have any staff because you can't bring in the Europeans to do the seasonal things anymore. And you really need to be focusing on getting the word out that the private club industry, the country club industry, is a great career path.
Well, we need to get the word out. She'll have to be on the show.
I'm sure she would love to.
Yeah, that would be grand. You know, my son wanted to be an executive chef. And he went to a culinary arts program at our Kapiolani Community College. There were a number of different reasons why he had a hard time fulfilling his initial dream. He discovered that it wasn't quite what he expected, not only in the school setting, but also in the work setting. He was working in a restaurant, and you have to explain to kids what they're getting themselves into, because it's not an easy job to get into. It's not an easy profession. There's a lot of competition.
Yeah, you have to be able to, you have to have the passion, but at the same time, in the private golf and country club space is really developing on the culinary side. So it's becoming an industry importance to get the word out there to young people. And we need marketing teams. We need people that really care about the industry, because if you don't, you know, I'm in my 50s. And a lot of the GMs are getting ready to retire, and the chefs are getting ready to retire. You need to be able to replace those people. And if you don't get the word out there that this is the benefits of working in the industry, you're not going to have any staff, and they're having a hard enough time as it is retaining staff.
Okay. Well, I think that's really an important message, because I'm not sure that anybody thought they could get a job in a private country club. You know, it's not something you think, oh, I think I'll go work in a private country club. So I think this is a really good message for young people trying to figure out what their possibilities are, you know, in life. And that's very good. I just wanted to mention that Baltrazol, a golf club in Springfield, New Jersey, the Baltrazol, is the Culinary Excellence Award for Outstanding Private Golf Club or Country Club recipient. That's
right.
Yes. That is a gorgeous place, isn't it?
Yeah, you really feel what I feel at Baltrazol is just, it's a property of golf history. I mean, I've never seen, and I've been to a lot of places, but they have the most incredible collection of golf memorabilia for years and years and years and years and years since they've been in existence. But they also have an amazing wine program, and they have an amazing culinary program that's led by Ed Stone. And the name Stone means leave no stone unturned.
Yes.
They definitely don't do that at Baltrazol. Yeah. It is just an incredible property. And, you know, very worthy, and they're very pleased about this award.
Well, I would be too. Baltrazol Golf Club, Springfield, New Jersey, Culinary Excellence Award for an Outstanding Private Golf Club or Country Club, Culinary Excellence Award for an Outstanding Golf Resort or Community, Reynolds Lake, Oconee in Greensboro, Georgia. You went there, and didn't you stay there?
I've stayed there for about 5 days. I can't fault that property. I mean, they have a Ritz-Carlton on the property. They have at least 10 eateries. You know, they have a huge real estate market there. It's just, you know, it's kind of like the inland Kiowa Island. It is just amazing.
You and you said you wanted to live there. You didn't really want to leave, I think, when we talked.
No, I didn't want to leave. I was having a real... It was like they have a great thing going on there. It's, you know, you have your Kiowa Island. You know how much I love Kiowa Island.
Yes.
And Reynolds Lake Oconee for me is on that same level. It's just lakes instead of beaches.
Yeah. Well, it sounds and looks lovely when I was looking at the pictures. Culinary Excellence Award for Outstanding Executive Chef at a Private Golf or Country Club. Edward Leonard, Fresh Meadow Country Club, Glen Cove, New York. Awesome.
Ed Leonard was actually voted by his peers. He's been a mentor to many, many, many chefs. He used to be the president of the American Culinary Federation, and
He recently has moved up to Fresh Meadow from the Polo Club in Florida, but he is an outstanding chef, and his peers have voted this award to be for him.
That's wonderful. Wow, what an honor. And Culinary Excellence Award for Outstanding Executive Chef at a Golf Resort or Community, Brian Skelding, the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. I wish we were still playing golf at the Greenbrier. I always enjoyed the tournaments there. Brian, tell us about him.
Brian Skelding he's been at the Greenbrier now for, it seems like years and years, but he's a culinarian through and through, and he has a team that he teaches. They have a culinary program. Many, many, many chefs that I talk to have been through the Greenbrier program at one point or another, and most of them excel thereafter. So it's a very fitting award for him.
That's wonderful. You know, are there still seats, tables available for the evening at Glen Arbor?
We are getting to the point where we're going to be full. There's only 80 seats. We have a cap of 80 because we like to keep it very private and great treatment. The wines are being supplied by Gallo Wines, and also the main four-course menu wines are being supplied by Laurent Drouin of Joseph Drouin Wines.
Wow. And this is part of the Golf Kitchen Wine Program Award is to Glen Arbor Golf Club. I'd love to see their wine cellar.
Well, yeah, that's being presented by Laurent Drouin himself to Glen Arbor.
Wow. That's
a really, I'm very, very proud of that program. I'm very blessed to be working with some of the best people in the industry, bringing the wine industry into Golf Kitchen and the private club sector to elevate the wine programs globally. It's something that I would never have dreamed to be working with these incredible people. I mean, it's just amazing.
That's why I said you're doing really good. Golf Kitchen Purveyor of the Year Award is Thomas Capobianco, HAFSCO, and the Visionary Leader in Club Management Award for a Private Golf or Country Club, Martel Meyer, Richland Country Club in Nashville, Tennessee. This is an outstanding list, and things just keep getting better and better. Diana DeLucia, I am so proud of you. You're doing outstanding work. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Hope to see you soon.
Yes, and I have to tell you, I have friends in the restaurant industry, and when they get your magazine and they got your book, and sometimes they find a recipe that they do incorporate. I just, you know, they just wanted to say. you know,
that's pretty cool, right?
Yes, it's very, very cool that, you know, recipes are going around and around through Golf Kitchen. Go to golfkitchen.com, golfkitchen.com. And you can get your magazine subscription. It's fantastic for friends. You don't know what to get your favorite foodie, somebody who loves to, you know, do things in the kitchen and practice being a chef. You know, they'll find some very interesting things. And Diana DeLucia is founder and editor-in-chief and publisher of Golf Kitchen. That's golfkitchen.com. Thank you for being a sponsor of our golf show. Rainer Doors, go to HawaiiDoor.com, HawaiiDoor.com. Beautify your home, protect your home, keep your loved ones safe in your home. Get a new Rainer garage door, raised panel, recessed panel, carriage house designs, flush styling, unmatched strength and durability. It's over hurricane force winds certified. So this is a fantastic place to go. And of course, you've got an old door, get a new one. It'll be nice and quiet. Have a new garage door installed and make it a Rainer overhead door. Call 808-676-3667. HawaiiDoor.com for the styles. Tell them Danielle sent you. That's 676-DOOR. Aloha Power Equipment. And boy, the build out is coming along for the moving sale and the move in soon. Until the store is empty, they're on sale. Things that you need to go into Aloha Power Equipment and discover. We put power at your fingertips for everything you need, including the Honda mower. The last time I checked, it was on sale. Sand Island and Waipahu stores. Aloha Power Equipment. Go now. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters, you need help. And you need it 24/7. When disaster strikes, call MD Restoration, flood or fire disaster. They're licensed contractors. They'll put everything back in order. Clean up and repair. The number's 528-3434. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.